those of you who understand your faith, those of you who understand some of the reasons behind it, the logic behind it, I really get frustrated. I heard a major radio personality, probably the most major, say something the other day. He said to this effect, I don't even talk about that with people because, you know, that's faith. You either believe or you don't, and it's just faith. That's all it is. What a cop-out. Because it makes it sound like, look, there's no way of knowing either way. So some of you choose to believe it's true, and some of you choose not to believe it's true. And it's like flipping a coin. Let's just leave it at that, huh? When in fact, and I know a lot of you listening have husbands or children now in their 18s and 20s and 24s who look at their mother. Mom, that's real nice for you. You can believe that stuff, you know, Mom. That's nice. That's the way you were raised, and that's what you think. And you need to be able to go to Mass and say those prayers, Mom, and that's real nice. But, you know, us more clear-thinking people realize that the Bible's just a bunch of stories and that Jesus really probably wasn't God. He probably just was a nice guy, and his believers decided, let's make him God so we can overthrow the Roman Empire. What do you think, buddies? All right, go. And the interesting thing about all this is there ain't a one of these people who think like this who have looked at the evidence. God made people with a capacity for reasonable thought. Now, many of us don't use that capacity, but it's there to varying degrees for most all humans. Does it make sense that he's going to construct his world in a very reasonable way? But then, when it comes to issues, the most important issues, faith, believing in God and an afterlife, and that this life is only a sliver of what's to come, those are monstrous issues. Monstrous. Any clear-thinking person would have to say, you know what? I better make a decision one way or the other about this, because this is huge. And then God's going to go, but watch this. I'm going to make it so that there's absolutely no way that they can look for evidence, that they can try to figure this out thinking, and that indeed this is just a matter of faith, and if I give them the grace to believe, they're going to believe it. If I don't, they don't, and that's the way it is, and what a trickster I am. But God's not going to do that. For any searching person, there's plenty of evidence out there to look at and weigh and ponder and say, hey, what is the evidence that Jesus Christ was God? Do I have to start with just believing that the Bible says so, therefore it is? Or can I look at the Bible and say, wait a minute, how do I know I can believe the Bible? I'm not going to even start with the idea that that's God's word. I'm just going to start out with the idea that that's a book. I'm going to look at this for a second. I'm going to look at what I know about the history of the time. I'm going to look about people, how they operate. I'm going to look for evidence. And what I have found over and over and over again is that people like Kathy's dentist, who are so quick to believe, just right now, well, you know, we have writings that say that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene. You know, we got writings that say that. These are people who have not at all looked at the evidence. At all. With any kind of logic. And the irony is, this guy probably thinks he's real logical. He probably thinks he's a kind of a scrupulous, scrutinizing scientist type. But in fact, if you asked him the most basic questions about the historicity of Jesus Christ and about the reliability of the Gospels as just as books, he wouldn't know squat. Let me give you a small example. The book he was referring to, the Apocryphal Gospel, that you know, Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene. Blah, 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 blah. Well, first of all, we don't have very many of those. Second of all, it was, and anybody knows history at all, in the early church, they simply said, no, this wasn't the way it was. This is highfalutin fantasy. But let's just take a look at the Gospels. Now, we have approximately 25,000 copies in various forms, partial or whole, of the New Testament. 25,000 copies. Now, people think, well, that's not very many. Now I'm talking manuscripts now. I'm not talking about all the books that have been published, all the Bibles that have been published since the printing press. I'm talking about manuscripts. You go back and you look at all the other documents of ancient times, back around the time of the Bible or before or thereafter. We don't have a fraction of that many copies. Are you kidding me? And the copies we do have are old. In other words, the originals were written, and the most recent copy we have is 600, 700, 800, 900, 1,000 years later. There's 1,000 years where we don't even have copies. The newest copy we have is a millennia older than when it was first written. Not so with the Gospels. We got some of them that date all the way back to within a generation of when they estimate the first one was written. Now, from a perspective of reliability, if you're any kind of historian, you're going to say, whoa, that's some pretty reliable stuff. That kind of evidence, the vast majority of people who question this stuff, they're not even aware of it. They don't know it. They've never even looked into it. All they wish to do is sit back and sound smart and sound bright by throwing out little bits and pieces of tiny little superficial ideas and act as though, you know, that's the truth. I was talking to a relative once. He just looked at me and says, well, everybody knows the Bible's just stories. I said, everybody? And how do you know they're just stories? Well, they are. It's just guys wrote them because they wanted to control the masses. That's right. Moses did. You know, he had a big bunch of people there, and he had to put together a law code to kind of keep them in line. I said, okay. So God's not involved in any of this? You notice his conclusion? It had to be either or. Either Moses put together this law code to control these people, or there's a God. Why can't it be both? Why can't there be a God, and in fact, God and Moses put together this law code to control these people and to teach them about God? He wouldn't even entertain that possibility. And the reason is, because he didn't want to believe. That's the reason. It's a matter of the will. It's a matter of the soul. It's not a matter of the intellect. If it were a matter of the intellect, most folks would look at the evidence, and they'd have to be fair in looking at the evidence and say, you know what? There's a pretty good case here that this Jesus Christ was who he said he was. This is a pretty good case. But they don't look at the evidence. They don't even know it. I have never gotten into a discussion with anybody who has said things like, well, you know, the Da Vinci Code pretty much debunks Christianity. And I've gotten into a discussion with them about the actual evidence, and they've said, I'm familiar with all that. I studied that for 8 years. I'm aware of all that. I don't buy it. No. They don't know any of it. They don't know squat of it. Ravi Zacharias is an apologist for Christianity. He's not a Christian. I mean, he's a Christian, but he's not a Catholic. He has a great line. He said, God gave us enough evidence to have a reasonable faith. But he did not give us so much evidence that we could live by reason alone. That's a great line. He's essentially saying, you know, if you look at this and you analyze it and you seek with a heart that says, I will go where the evidence takes me. I will go where it looks like truth is. And if that means there's a God, and if that means Jesus Christ was God's son, then I'll believe it. You see, part of the problem, and this is the irony as I see it, this is the grand irony, it's an infinite irony. Most people make decisions in their lives on the basis of probabilities. Very few people have perfect certainty in about any course of action they choose. They're going to go to college? Well, I don't know if that's the major I want to get into. I don't even know if that's the college, but we'll see what happens. Take this job? Well, you know, there's pros and cons of this job. I'll step out in faith and take the job and see what happens. Kids, I got 5 kids. Oh, God gave us a 6th. Could I handle it? Well, we'll see. But when it comes down to believing whether or not there is a God and that Jesus was God and that Jesus established a church, prove it. I want 100% certainty. I'm not going to, nope, I don't even care if it's 72% chance of being true. I'm not going to operate on that 72. There's 28% chance it's not true. I'm not giving up my life for 28%. What an irony. It speaks volumes about human psyche. Whenever there's a decision that I want to make, sure, I'll act on probabilities. But if that decision is something I may not want to make, I may not want to lay down my life for the truth of faith, well, you better prove it to me before I do it, that's for sure. Because I'm just going to stand back here and lob grenades on why it's false. I'll never look into it and see. Let me see what the best arguments are by the best minds of people who believe this stuff. There's an awful lot of really smart people who believe this faith stuff. How did they come to that conclusion? Are they just duped believers? Or do they think